Well, hello, internet friends near and far. Welcome to another episode of Podcast 99, which is part of the It's a Sure Thing podcast network thing that we're doing, series where myself, Jason, and my friend Jeremy, we're walking through all of the Michael Schur television shows. And so we're in the Podcast 99 era. Brooklyn 99. Jeremy, how are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well. It's a beautiful snowy day in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And by snowy, I mean, it snowed yesterday and now it's just here.
Yeah. And life, everything shut down. That's not true.
And school happened. Yeah. I went out last night, to an open mic that is 10 minutes away from my house. And I was leaving my house and it was icy and cold at like 7:30. I got to this 10 minute away and it was going south, so it's warmer. There was no snow on the ground whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
This place is weird.
Yeah.
This region is bananas. So do you have snow at your house?
We have a banana belt over across the water. Port Angeles, the rain shadow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Squim. Yeah.
For all the folks who aren't in the Pacific Northwest, you're like, I want to hear more about this squim. It's spelled SEQUIM.
Right.
Sequim.
And it rains less there than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's the driest place in the Pacific Northwest. It's also one of John Wayne's favorite places on Earth.
Yeah.
It was. He's dead.
Oh. Squim's still there.
Squim's still there, yeah. Too soon? John Wayne's death. Jeremy, what are we talking about today? What episode are we talking about?
Episode 2, The Tagger.
The Tagger.
The Tagger.
What's your first impression on this episode? As we are jumping in, like
the kid's got such a punchable face. That's the first thing I thought. I know it's terrible to say.
Yeah,
I would never. But it's they picked a great they cast the kid perfectly. And who is the dad? Who is the actor? He is very familiar looking. I should know. I should have been prepared. Now look at you looking for your keyboard. Yeah. Podansky.
Podolsky.
Podolsky.
Yeah. He seems like he would be the guy who would play up a disgruntled principal in a high school drama of some sort. And I bet if I look at his IMDb page, he probably has that role.
It's just all principal roles.
Yeah. It's like, we need a principal. I know just the guy. And as soon as I find the episode list on Brooklyn 99 on IMDb, I will be able to tell you who that guy is.
Mm-hmm.
Because IMDb is everybody's favorite argument solver. Who was the guy in that thing? IMDb. Look it up. All right. Come on, internet. Load faster.
It's always a fun thing. Anytime you're talking to someone about like, oh, I think it's this person, you know, or no, so-and-so played it. And then they just get their phone out without saying anything.
Like, you know exactly what's happening.
You don't believe me.
The actor's name is James M. Connor.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I just told you. He's James M. Connor. He was born on June 16th, 1960 in Omaha, Nebraska, USA. He is an actor and writer known for, check this out, Vice Principals, 2016.
That's a really funny show. Nailed it.
Is it?
Nailed it.
Is it? I've never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's inappropriate. It's Danny McBride and Walter Goggins.
Okay.
It's very funny, very, very adult, inappropriate, you know, language and stuff, but it's a really funny show.
Does he play a principal in it?
I don't remember him. He's not a main guy that I remember.
His character name is Seychelles, according to IMDb. Anyway, I love IMDb and it is a real problem.
It's a rabbit hole for sure. Okay. So yeah, no, I mean, basically this episode is just more world building. Honestly, that's what it felt like. We're just getting to know the characters more. Jake's ridiculousness and Holt's fastidiousness and just, you know, yeah, that's how it feels. I didn't know that Holt started the Terry loves yogurt. I thought Terry said Terry loves yogurt first and Holt says it. So that was one of the first things that kind of popped out. I was like, all right, sweet. So
that is funny. I didn't notice that either. That was the first. But yeah, you're right. Terry loves yogurt.
Terry does love yogurt. How are you? Where are you on the yogurt? Are you a yogurt guy?
Me?
Yeah.
I appreciate a good yogurt.
You abide? Okay.
Yeah. The yogurt abides. The best yogurt I've ever had was, I remember it vividly. I was on the coast of the Black Sea in northern Turkey.
Just a picture, please.
It was in a Hilton hotel, and they had like the best breakfast minus bacon, because they don't serve bacon in Muslim majority countries. I don't know why. But yeah, I was eating yogurt and looking out onto the Black Sea. It was a nice like autumn, like rainy kind of day, and the yogurt was just amazing. I was like, this yogurt is blowing my mind right now. But
now their yogurt style is like you get like
really
a plain,
thick.
Really thick, but then you put like their stuff out, right?
Yeah,
honey and fruit and
It's basically like a frozen yogurt, like a Menchie's type thing, but not frozen.
Yeah,
but they also have like hard boiled eggs and olives and stuff, and that got weird when you started. No, I didn't put that in my yogurt, but it was just, it was so good. The second best was actually in Istanbul, so still Turkey.
They know how to do yogurt. What did you think of this episode?
I think this episode is great. I think we get we got two plots really, and so we get a good picture of how people work together. They're still trying to figure out Rosa, I felt like.
Yeah.
But I do think that this is, as the show progresses, we see like a tension between Peralta and Holt, but then we also see like Holt's got Peralta's back,
right?
Which I think is really important, because we don't want, like, I don't want all the my favorite characters on a TV show just constantly be in conflict,
right?
You know, and so like having these two who are in, you know, it's a workplace comedy, and a superior officer and a detective, they can be fighting all the time, but I want them to be on the same team.
Right.
And so this episode does end with them on the same team, and you know, Holt standing up to protect Peralta's career. So yeah, all and in the second episode.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point there, because I feel like the difference between, say, something like Holt and Wunsch is, you know, like they will never really like each other.
Right.
You know, versus like Holt's just trying to be a captain and hold everyone to a higher standard, and Jake is learning, but he hasn't just like, you know, like wholesale quit on him, or just be like, you're worthless, I'm giving up on you, and I'm going to make your life miserable. Right. Like he knows Jake's good. He's like, I can save him. No, I don't know if that's really, you know.
No, he sees he sees he's a good detective. Like in the first episode, and the second episode, he also like does good detective work.
Right.
And so he's just trying to like direct him. Right. Which is, as you know, somebody who, you know, you work with people who have a lot of potential. Like the hard thing is when they're all potential and no real effort, you just like, you would be so much better if you just tried.
Yeah,
I'm not talking
thing.
To anybody on this call. No, I'm just talking.
Wow.
But there's people who just are naturally good at things. And it's like, if you just took a moment to actually try to be great, you could. And so that's part of what I think Holt sees in Peralta as a character, is like, you could be awesome. And I want to help you do that.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like that. So, but talking about Wunsch, who we haven't met yet, like the reason Wunsch works is because she's not in every episode.
Right.
Like if every episode was just Wunsch being Holt's nemesis, it would get old really fast.
And the fact that you don't quite know why. Like, I mean, it's this underlying, like this deep-seated hatred for each other, which is so, and Holt. Anyway, we'll get into that down the road, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a great character and a great reveal for like why they're this way over time. It's so good.
Yeah.
The writing of this show, it's so good. So, so we have two main plot lines. We have Holt and Ray, or Ray is Holt. Holt and Jake, trying to investigate this person who's vandalizing police vehicles. And then we have, Amy and Rosa and Charles working on a drug case. But there's also a psychic involved, which is so great. And then, so those are the main plot lines that we're going to follow today. And again, I feel like having three detectives work on a like looking at a perpetrator's apartment looking for drugs. I feel like three is a lot. Now, I'm not a cop, I'm not a detective, but I don't think they need three.
So. It's kind of it's like the media empire in Pawnee.
Exactly.
Like how many news outlets do we need here?
Yeah, I was talking to my wife yesterday about our frustration with the media, my frustration anyway, with the media outlets in Pawnee last night, because I have a somebody who is working on the Linwood Today blog wants to do an interview with me about doing open mic comedy and being a pastor. And she's like, that's so exciting. And I was like, is it? I don't know.
Welcome to Linwood Today. How do we, is it a show? Is it, what
no,
is this?
It's a blog. It's just a blog. And she's like, Kathy's like, is this going to be printed anywhere? I was like, just on the internet. I don't know.
Hey, internet is forever.
It is forever until they forget to pay the server or whatever. But yeah, so it's like, yeah, the media empire. I think this may be part of Schur's program, like ethos, is like just overwhelm the place in some way.
Right. So
it could be way too many media people. It could be way too many detectives. I don't know. So,
or frozen yogurt, like in The Good Place.
Yeah. Oh man, it's all coming back around.
See, yeah,
it's all
coming so back much frozen around. Yogurt.
Yeah, it's just I that show's so funny. It's like take something great and make it just a little less great.
So close.
Yeah. So this episode, it starts with a cold open, where Peralta's coming in late and Holt is standing there by his desk to point out that he's late, and Holt's like, "Hey, I had a plumbing problem," and the plumbing problem was his alarm went off on his phone and he threw his phone in the toilet. Have you ever call out sick with some kind of like, what it was I was lazy, but I had a good, I had a plumbing problem type solution or answer?
No. I just don't show up. That's okay. My solution.
That's your plan. Just avoidance.
Yeah.
My brother called in sick one time and, I was like, you're not sick. He's like, yeah, I got an eye problem. I can't see myself going to work. I'm like, that's the best. I don't know if you actually told your boss that, but that's a really great line. But you were going to say something and I cut you off.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I was really into your story.
All right. Sorry, listener. My voice is a little froggy today. So, all right. So then Holt starts interrogating Jake. He's like, you're going to call me out in front of everybody. He's like, yes, everybody gather around so I can call Jake out in front of you. So he's
for the second
about,
time in two episodes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Holt is great at the everybody come to this meeting, Michael Scott system of leadership. Right. Come to the meeting now. So, so he was late. We are told that he did not file his Christoph murder evidence correctly, and Terry caught it, and that's the only reason that case is going on. And then he holds up two pictures. One is your locker. One is a picture of a dump in the Philippines. Can you tell which is which? And Jake picks one. He's like, they're both your locker. And then the filing undies, comma dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't get confused with undies, comma clean, which is good.
That's smart. That's a system.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all about file systems,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I've shared documents with you for work, and I don't know if you've noticed my file naming system convention is year, month, day, almost all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you start with the biggest thing and then the next biggest thing and then,
right?
It's so much easier to find stuff. So if you know, like in 2024, you're going to be doing these different projects, just date them. It'll make your life so much easier.
Isn't the European order too?
I don't really pay attention to the European order of anything because I read enough of the Left Behind books to just ignore Europe. I just know like bad things are coming from the Carpathia region. So
yeah.
What's your file name system?
Name of file, final mm-hmm. question mark, mm-hmm. maybe.
Okay.
Version 3.
Perfect.
_
maybe version 3.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So I never know what changes are going to happen.
Right. No, it's good. That's good to have a system. One of my former coworkers, her system was save everything on your desktop. And I, every time I would see her computer, I would like feel like I was about to have a stroke. Just kind of, how do you find anything on here? And she's like, I just know where it is. Like, no, you don't. You don't. Anyway,
I teach at a college as well, and it's visual arts. And I had a student who bought a thumb drive, a brand new thumb drive. And this is how long I've been doing this, but it was a 16 gig thumb drive, which is not very much. But back then it was huge. It was like $100 at the time. Anyway,
right.
And she came back, it was about halfway through the quarter, and she goes, my thumb drive is full. And I was like, well, what are you making? Like, those are some huge files. And she showed me, and what she was doing was she was taking the entire folder off of her thumb drive and putting it onto the desktop, which just makes a copy of it.
Oh my God.
And then she would put that folder back into the folder. And then time she took the folder, she's incepting her folders with all of everything. So after about 3 iterations, her thumb drive was full. So,
oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah,
good times.
That is so stressful. It's like, well, which one do you want? Because if you pull down to at the base level of this inception, like Leo DiCaprio is going to die in the dream. So you got to watch out.
Anyway, systems, and then people, they're important.
And then also points out that Jake has more mice living in his desk than any other detective. And he opens the drawer and there's a mouse in there. And Jake's like, Algernon! Algernon's back. Now, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Do you know the significance of the name Algernon?
It is a mouse.
Yes.
Right. From a book.
Yes.
Called Flowers for Algernon.
Yes. And keep going.
Yeah. It's about a science experiment where a guy's like trying to make somebody smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So what,
that's all. I just didn't know if like people knew this about Algernon.
This is kind of a weird, I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence, but there's a really funny, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode called Flowers for Charlie, which is one of the characters where he gets super smart. And it's just really ridiculous. But the coincidence is that the psychic played by Artemis, she's in Sunny as well. And she's absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, there you go. A little crossover. But I guess, why do you think he named him Algernon then? Just because he was just like random, like he could have named him Fievel or
Stuart.
Yeah. Or Mickey. I mean, anything.
He could have named it anything, but I bet it's probably because there isn't a IP associated with Algernon. Like you can't, if you name it Fievel or Stuart or Mickey, you're going to get somebody's attention. But this book from the 1960s, nobody's like, wait a second. We know about that Algernon nonsense.
I like to think that Jake, even though he knows better, feels like if I keep this mouse in this desk long enough, it'll understand how it'll get smarter and actually help me with my paperwork.
Maybe. Yeah. Or
because that's like, why'd you name him that? Because it's a mouse that gets smarter through. Yeah.
It's a possibility. Or it's like, he will eat my garbage.
That's good.
Maybe. So it could be either way.
Yeah. Or maybe the garbage is bonus. I just, Algernon is a complex character. I just think that I don't know how much time has been devoted to.
Yeah.
He never really comes back. So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Well, because he's told to get rid of him right away.
Yeah.
Get rid of the mouse. So
he's grumpy.
He's a grumpy guy. So then it cuts to credits, which is the theme song that we know and love. And then it comes back. So then we start in the briefing room. And I love this technique for introducing us, the plot lines to us. Mm-hmm. Because they have a natural way for these people to go about doing their work for that day by just doing the briefing room. And saying, like, these are the cases we're dealing with. Go.
Your plots have been assigned to you.
Yeah. And I just like, that's a good use of this this part of police work, is using the briefing room to just be the place where, you know, we got 2 or 3 plots every episode. watcher, viewer of the show, this is what you can expect to happen for the next 22 minutes.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that's pretty smart. I even wrote it down. Framing of plot lines right there. So
that's good.
I take notes. Anyway, not to brag. So the first one is the tagger on squad cars. The other one is the drug dealer plot line. And so it's going to be Jake with the tagger, and Holt jumps in as like a babysitter. And the drug dealer plot line is Rosa and Amy and Charles. Again,
dream team.
Too many detectives. Too many detectives. So the vandalism case, somebody has been tagging police cars with genitalia. They've been spray painting wieners on squad cars, which is so funny.
That's so funny.
Because the rest of the episode, every time you see one of these vandalized squad cars, it's blurred out. So
there's a show. There's a show on Netflix called, again, very adult, American Vandal.
Okay.
Do you ever? It's absolutely hilarious. It's basically a mockumentary about a school that is getting vandalized by genitalia related vandalism.
Okay. Wow. And that's the whole series. Is that?
The first series, all the episodes are based on like who did it, why, and it's a whole mockumentary. It's fantastic.
That's funny.
American Vandal. Anyway.
All right. I'll have to put it to the queue. Yeah. So, so Jake and, they're talking about this, and Hitchcock is like, oh, that's what he's been drawing. What are those little round things at the bottom?
Oh, that's the butt.
And everybody's just like, what? How do you not know this? So
it's a rocket ship.
So Jake is going to do that. And instead of using a squad car, Terry volunteers to use the minivan. And everybody laughs that he has a minivan. But, you know, he's all about safety, and SUVs roll, man. They roll. The drug case is there's some cocaine that 12 kilos of coke that are unaccounted for at this drug bust. So they have to go look at the apartment. And so, so it cuts to Charles and Rosa and Amy getting ready to go. And Gina brings her friend who is a psychic who also sells shoes. And does palms, tarot, and she has a degree in numerology from the internet.
She's so proud of the internet part.
Yeah, I have a degree in numerology from the internet. Writing her off. Rose is like, no, we don't need a psychic. But then Gina's like, she told me I was gonna have a sensuous encounter with a guy named Mark, and I did. So then cut to the flashback of her at the bar, totally wasted. Anyone here named Mark? So the psychic came true. She also talks about how she had visions that science cannot account for, like amazing deals at ladies' footwear. So she has these visions, and I love how she announces the visions. Vision! The drugs are in a location. color blue, and then she lists all these letters, and Amy's like, oh, basically everybody's first eight guesses in Hangman. All right, so they write her off, but they're gonna go to the apartment to look for the drugs, right? So Jake it talks to Terry. He's like, why is Holt coming? I made a mixtape with a very explicit rap, and now I can't listen to it, now I can't sing along. And so Terry's like hung up on the mixtape part of it, Jake is really frustrated that he's being babysat. And he's like, I like when McKinley was here. Let me do anything. And then a flashback to Jake tasing a watermelon to see cantaloupe. What happens. Was it a cantaloupe?
Yeah.
Oh, a melon of some sort.
Is that what it says?
No. I thought it was a watermelon, but it is a cantaloupe.
Details. Just in case.
Yeah.
Thank it could you. Be a trivia question somewhere.
That's true. Thank you. Thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, go ahead.
And McKinley's like, what's happening out here? And he tells him, he's like, okay. World's changing here. So he's He's frustrated, but Terry's just like, you got to get with it, man, and get an iPod. And so then Charles talks to Gina and, or to the Carlene. He's like, look, I'm sorry, my my coworkers, they don't really, you know, see your potential here, but my grandma also had the second sight. She's like, I'm going to die. Like, he's a flashback to the hospital. I'm going to die. And he's like, she did 2 years later. And then Carlene says she has a vision. And it's like, the girl that you love with the black hair, the scary one, she will never love you. And Charles is kind of dejected by that. But Gina, like, say thank you. Thank you. So then cut to Jake and Peralta. Peralta's, or not Peralta, Peralta. Holt. I'm getting used to all the new last names. Holt is in the van. Jake is late because he was putting together his outfit for his undercover work.
And this is one of my favorite, beginning of one of my favorite tropes in the, you know, or gags in the series, is just the different backgrounds for the undercover characters.
Right. Yeah. And so who's this guy?
This is Harvey Norgenbloom, a CPA, recently divorced, father of two, with a dark secret. Hold on, it got cut off. Oh, and then he asked, what's his cover?
Angry Captain. So Holt is not really playing along. But, you know, right now, I mean, we're just getting to know Holt and knowing where the show goes. When Holt does start actually playing along, like, I love it so much. Like,
yeah,
Velvet Thunder. Like, it's gonna be so good.
But Jason, he's in khaki cargo shorts, sandals, like strap-on sandals, and a blue polo that's buttoned up to the top with a blue members only jacket, and his hair is parted in the middle slightly. So he's very Astro Van Dad,
right?
Out. I mean, he's just. The only thing that could have made him better is if he were wearing Nike Monarchs, like, instead of the sandals. But, you know, he is, the sandals define him. So I'm not going to.
It's his whole character.
His whole character.
Yeah. And Holt is like, you know, isn't that going to kind of, the sandals, aren't they going to kind of mess with your efforts to try to catch the perp if we have to chase him? And he's like, that's Harvey's problem.
And this is one of the cases that where I feel like Holt gets. Is so upset with Jake and doesn't understand him, where it's like, if you spent as much time actually doing your work as you do coming up with just ridiculous, like, this doesn't matter. It obviously doesn't matter, but he's put so much time and effort into this character, and he knows that he, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Holt is trying to help Jake solve the puzzle of how to grow up.
Right.
Which is really what this whole show is about.
Pretty much.
Is Jake trying to learn how to grow up. Holt says, like, unless you, like, get everything done perfectly, I'm going to keep babysitting you.
Right.
And Jake's counteroffer is, what if I give you $50 and you just let me do whatever I want? which is like, you're bribing a police officer, like, who's also your boss. This can't go well. Jake is also, as they're doing this, he's like, quick update on the Tiger situation. He's currently spray painting the side of our van right now. And so they go and they run out and they catch the guy. Jake loses his sandal. So they arrest him. So Jake has to write his report perfectly, has to do everything perfectly if he wants to get Jake or Holt off his case. And so they're back in the office and he's like, hey, Captain, one more time. What about that $50? But instead of 50, I do 40. And that still stands. And Holt is not responding to it. And he's like, okay, how about 30? Cause that's what I actually have. So Holt is like, he's like, I'm just going to work. Jake says, I'm just going to work on my project. I'm going to get it done. My report is going to be great. And Holt's like, good. I'm anxious to read it. And then Jake's like, I'm anxious to restore my status as a lone wolf. And he howls in the bullpen there. And Holt's just staring at him. The Andre Brower stare of, like, everything you're doing is wasting my life. Are you done? Anything else? He's like, yeah, I'm going to do one more. He does it again. So then Jake is like, Terry, where's the glitter? I want to make this report really great.
Yeah.
And Terry is just like, man, it was nice working with you. Just do the thing. And so, and then Jake also tells them, oh, also, please don't, you should know the tiger drew a penis on your minivan. Please don't chase after me. And so, and Terry stands up like, what? There's a penis on my minivan? So cut to Boyle and Diaz and Santiago at the apartment, and they're looking for the drugs. And Amy points out how the how nice the apartment is, and it's like, why mm-hmm. why do the criminals always have the nicest apartments? Rosa is like, you know, they don't teach you at the academy, it's better to be a criminal. So and Charles is looking around, he's like, oh no, the cabinets are blue, because the psychic said that they would find the drugs in a location and the color blue and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cabinets are blue, and so he's freaking out. And then the Amy is like, why is this such a big deal? I just repainted it. And like Charles, like, no, the psychic predicted they would be something in blue. And then it's like, she gave me some very troubling news about Rosa never loving her and all that. And so we get these flashbacks to that moment in slow motion. And Amy, like, is in the bathroom, and she opens up, or the kid, yeah, the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she opens up the baseboard, and she finds drugs in the baseboard. And Charles runs over, what color is the baseboard? And the it's green, or the hamper's green. And so she's like, oh good, the psychic's wrong.
And the psychic's wrong about that, and she's wrong about everything.
Yeah, which is all that Charles really wants, is the psychic mm-hmm. to be wrong. So cut back to the station, and Jake is writing up his report, and the tagger is right there, the tagger with a very punchable face. He asks Gina for help by looking up the moon cycle and the humidity, and Gina's like, no. And I love how the script here is talking about this person, the perp, privileged kid. So he asks his name. He's like, my name is Banana Fartman, MD. He's like, and Jake's like, I don't believe you.
Wait, what?
And it's like, well, how old are you? He's like, I'm 610. I'm a Highlander. And Jake's like, is that what you want? They'll put you in jail and they'll cut off your head.
Yeah, because they will try you as an adult Highlander.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm writing down a title name, Adult Highlander. the original name that I wrote down was Alder Nonsense. But then I think Adult Highlander might be better. So, yeah. So they're trying to figure this whole thing out. He's just keep working on this report. And then Charles goes back and he's like, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, Gina, but the hamper was green. And Gina's response is, she's never wrong. Because remember, she said, Charles, like, she never said the letter H. It's like, well, she did say the letters L and B. And what else is a hamper called? Lady?
Bin?
Lady? Bin? Like, no, laundry basket. So now Charles is sad again because yellow and blue makes green, and lady bin, also laundry basket. It's all coming back together. So then cut back over to Terry. He's on the phone telling his wife that somebody painted a giant penis on their minivan. And he's like, no, you cannot have an SUV. Those things roll, baby. They roll. So then Jake is working his report. He's like, hey, your prints were in the system. And I know that your name is Trevor Podolsky. And he's like, oh, that sounds familiar. Oh, it's the deputy chief's kid. Deputy commissioner Podolsky. And Jake realizes that, oh, this is not just some kid. This is somebody who has power over me. And so Trevor's like, oh, so does that mean your career's in my hands? So, yeah, kids these days.
Seriously.
Privileged kids. What are you going to do?
Send them to Duke.
Yeah, which is what hopefully this happens to Trevor. But now that he's got this criminal record. We then cut over to Gina, Amy, Rosa, and Charles, and they're, working, processing the evidence. And Amy's like, 2.2 kilos. I feel like we could round up to 21. And Gina's suggestion is they take that extra 0.2 and sell it to their friends. She's selling this to police in a police station. So it's like, oh, okay. So yeah, so they start working the case. Charles is like, Rosa said, what are you doing tonight? And she's like, nothing. What about you? What are you doing? She's doing nothing. And Gina is reminding Charles, Carlene, like what Carlene said. And he's like, well, I hope you find something to do. I'm going to pee. That's what I'm going to do tonight. He's having a hard time. So Holt tells Jake about Trevor, and he's like, what are we going to do? And Jake's like, we got to let him walk, right? And Holt's like, well, he defaced 9 police vehicles, caught him red-handed. Why would you let him walk? And this is a hard decision because he's this could definitely hurt his Jake's career. So, and he's like, but Captain, I did work on this report. I do want you to read it. It's perfect. It's 25 pages of meticulous research, diagrams, a map, and I have an about the author on the back.
which he took the time to take a picture of himself in a mock turtleneck.
Right.
Going
authoring.
Like, authoring, yeah.
Yeah, he's total author pose.
John Grisham.
Man, I was recently trying to clear out some books that I may have duplicates of, or I know I'll never read again. And there are some really amazing author photos in some of these books. Just like a lot of that. But then also pictures like Tom Clancy.
Yeah, with his leather jacket.
Oh, not even that. Let me just a second.
Like, hold on. Just go there, hit your Tom Clancy shelf there. And what is that? Is that like, yeah.
See, look at this.
So for those of you who can't see, it's Tom Clancy, I think in the desert. And he's wearing his flight jacket.
He's wearing aviators, a bomber jacket. Flight suit. Now, Tom Clancy, before he wrote Hunt for Red October, was an insurance salesman.
Right. Mission accomplished.
This is what we call stolen valor. but this book is really good. Rainbow Six is good.
Yeah, it's a good video game too.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
Old school, old school FPS.
Here's another one.
Yeah, there he is. Oh yeah. I like when people put their one leg up on something, like they're really holding it down. Like, hold it down, man. That's what I'm doing here.
If I wasn't putting my foot on this driftwood would just drift away. Drift. Yeah, now it's just wood.
Mm-hmm. Beach
anyway,
wood.
Anyway. So that was a diversion. I'm sorry.
No, it's worth it. It's what I'm here for.
What is it? So what's his face? Holt says, Jake, you're the arresting officer. You're going to have to make the call on this. And so Jake is having a hard time. And he gets his crew together to ask them in the briefing room. Litter is like, what should I do? And he's like, I don't want to end up rest of my year as a detective third grade, which is literally pathetic. No offense, Hitchcock. Hitchcock's like, none taken.
Yeah, none taken.
And so he's like, option one, I arrest him and I'll lose everything. Option two, I let him walk and I spend the rest of my life with Holt as my babysitter. And then he gets on this fantasy of having a babysitter who always has pizza money and lets him stay up real late. And Amy's like, how old are you in this scenario? So Jake's like, all Holt really cares about is whether I do my job right. and then whether I have a job at all. So I'm taking suggestions. And so Amy says, piss off Holt because I'd like to watch your career end. Jake's like, all right, thanks. That's helpful. So he's making tally on the board. And then he's like, also, Amy, I'm going to put your phone number on every urinal in Rikers, which is a prison in New York. And Rosa says, don't arrest him. Just smack him hard with a phone book on a body part no one can see. You know what I'm saying? And this is where we start getting like where Rosa's going to end up. I feel like this line right here is like, this is who Rosa is. Like, don't leave any visible bruising on your suspect. So it's like, you're suggesting police brutality? Yeah, I guess so.
Why?
Then he asks a Scully and he's like, hey, Scully, you want this collar? The paperwork's all done. It's perfect. And he's like, the Podolsky kid? No. No, I just gave him my lunch.
Which is a big deal for them because they're all about the food.
Yeah. But they also know, like, if this kid is in their holding room.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he complains to his dad. It's like, oh, I don't want to be in Podolsky's bad graces. And so it's like, here, kid, you want my lunch? So it's just a butt-saving move on Scully's part. So, and then he asks Charles, and Charles is like, I don't know, the universe is cruel and vexing puzzle. I'm at the whim of the cosmos. And so Jake's like, all right, I'm going to mark you down for bummer.
Just hang out over here by yourself.
So then Gina is like, hey, there's a guy here. He's a very elderly, sexy, angry official, Deputy Commissioner Podolsky. He's asking for you. Again, very angry, elderly, sexy, fearless. So Jake goes to talk to Podolsky. And Podolsky's like, you know, where's my son? He needs you to let him go, basically. As he's walking over to his desk, Amy comes up and is like, hey, Peralta, when you're done, can you help me wrap up this massive cocaine bust? She's trying to brown nose to Podolsky here. And she walks away.
But I like that he meets Podolsky, because in a vacuum, the choice is, you know, probably a lot, I don't want to say harder to make, but it's a lot clearer. Like, if I do this, then this, the ethics aren't quite there. But then once he meets him and he's like, basically, I don't care what work you did. I don't care if it, you know, he got busted, let him go. Like, ignore the actual, like, the right thing to do.
Right.
And that's where the tide kind of changes with Jake. You can just see him process that. And I thought that was a really good part of the show for his character, but also with the, it's not just like, oh, I'm just going to do this thing because, like, there's weight behind it. And now it's like, oh, wait, no, you're not cool, man.
Yeah. Podolsky's a bad cop.
Right.
And Jake doesn't want to be a bad cop.
He's not a bad cop. He's lazy. He's, you know, or, you know, he does, you know, all of the,
he does things differently.
Yeah, but he wants to put bad guys away, and this kid is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or has broken the law anyway.
Yeah. So he, and Podolsky's like, you just let him go. He's about to go to Duke. He's going to have a lacrosse scholarship. And which right there is like, oh, I hate this kid.
Yep.
Like, I remember the first time I saw a lacrosse team, it was a club team. And maybe that's bigger on the East Coast, but it's not where we're from. And I was just like, we played lacrosse in like PE as a unit, right? It was field hockey unit, lacrosse unit, square dancing unit, like all these things that I don't care about. And I was like, oh, lacrosse could be a lot of fun, but where are you going to find enough people who want to run around with a net stick? And turns out a bald eagle just swooped right through my yard. Anyway.
Are there any bald men out there?
No.
Okay.
Wow, that was majestic.
They're safe.
But yeah, lacrosse is just, in my opinion, the richest kid's sport that I can imagine.
Besides, like, polo.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I really consider polo a human sport. It seems more like a horse sport.
The horse sport?
Yeah. Like the way NASCAR is a car sport.
Oh, okay. Like,
NASCAR, sure, it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of focus, but the most of the work is happening with the car, right? The engine, the power.
But that's like saying the basketball does most of the work for the basketball
player. No, the basketball cannot move on its own, but you put a brick on a pedal, it's going to go fast, right? You just let a horse go, the horse is going to go. A basketball is just going to sit there.
But it's not going to try to score goals, like hit it with its, it's like, it's not like air, you know, air Seabiscuit out there trying to.
I mean, maybe we just haven't motivated him enough.
Right. Or maybe we've been hovering, so like doing the work for him for so long that they can't do it themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Horses are just like, man, before all these people started riding us, they didn't see all our sports that we were playing.
Get off me. Yeah. The reindeers got their games. We got ours. That's why I said stop horsing around.
Yeah. See, it's a horse sport. So, yeah.
Well, and the whole Duke thing, because if you notice Jake's reaction, there is like a scandal, a lacrosse scandal that you can look up for Duke.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And that's what this, because of the time of the era, basically they're saying, yeah, this kid is terrible.
This kid is dirty. He's going to a dirty school for
to be a bad, bad person.
Yeah. So I didn't even put that together, but I do remember that Duke scandal. But it was about lacrosse, so I was instantly like, I don't really care about this.
Wow.
So I don't even know what the scandal was. I do remember Duke lacrosse, and those are not things that resonate with my life.
Yeah. Okay.
So, do you know what this scandal was about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a hazing thing?
No. Let's just keep it. Let's keep it light and.
Yeah, it's
and
I'm
fun.
I'm recalling things.
Sometimes boys just need to be boys.
That's what Podolsky says.
It is,
but it's not good.
No, because that was their literal defense.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this got dark.
Yeah.
This is like NYPD Blue, like straight from the headlines, like intense stuff.
Thanks, Dick Wolf.
I mean, that name.
Speechless. As long as he's not an author.
Name.
As long as he's not an author, right?
I don't want to see his author photo. So that name is just too much. So Podolsky's like, Jake's like, all right, well, it's out of my hands. He's ordered to not arrest his kid. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, will you at least read my report? I put a lot of work into it. And Podolsky's like, yeah, absolutely. And he walks away and just throws the report in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So let's catch you back up with Charles for a minute, because Charles is very sad. And one of the reasons why he's sad is because he was in the break room and he was talking with Gina and Carlene. And Carlene says, I have a vision. If you get up out of that chair, you're going to hurt yourself. And so he can't. So he's rolling around everywhere in a chair. And you don't really notice it because so far after that scene, he was in the briefing room.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, you see him rolling across the kitchen area. And Rosa is like, why are you in that chair? And he's like, well, Carlene predicted if I get out, I'd get hurt really badly. And then Rosa just punches him. And like, why'd you do that? To show you that you could still get hurt in the chair.
She proved her point with violence.
Yeah. Like, the psychic is just nothing. Like, you are not, you make your own destiny. That's an important point here for Charles. Like, he's mm-hmm. he's a character that often feels like he's just like a blown around by events. You know, he lives in his ex-wife's basement,
right,
with her and her now husband. Like, he's not like an alpha in modern parlance. So Rosa is showing him, like, you make your own destiny. So stop listening to this dumb. So Charles is learning to not be that way. So Jake is then talking to Holt and he's like, I don't have to worry Podolsky anymore. The case is officially out of my hands. No charges filed. And he hands the report over to Holt, and Holt's like, why is there yogurt on this? He threw it in Terry's garbage can and he had just eaten yogurt. Terry loves yogurt.
Terry loves yogurt.
And so Jake is wrestling with this. He's like, I called six precincts and they all had the same thing happen. Mm-hmm. And it's a frustrating. He's a lucky little jerk. And Holt's like, I wouldn't say he's lucky. This guy, his dad, doesn't love him enough to like teach him how to handle consequences. But Holt's like, yeah, buddy, that's our problem. He's not our problem. Out of our hands. And so Jake's like, well, I see what you're trying to do, but it's not gonna work. I'm gonna arrest him. And Holt's like, you want backup? And so they go and they arrest Podolsky's kid, and Podolsky's like, what are you doing? Get out of here. And Jake's like, I'm arresting you're under arrest for destruction of property. And he's like, back off, Peralta. And Jake says, first off, my name's Santiago, Detective Amy Santiago. And so they arrest him, and Holt like stands up here. This is where he stands up. He's like, don't be stupid, Peralta. And Holt says, Commissioner, please don't talk to my detective that way. If you have a complaint, you can take it up with me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're not the first to try to push me around. I've been an openly gay cop since 1987, and you're not the first superior officer to try to threaten me. And you know, I'm still here because I do my job and I do it right. And he walks back to his police car. And then Jake is like overwhelmed. And he's like, dang, son. And I was like, don't say son. So they arrest him. And Jake's like, let's go, fart man. Callback to Dr. Banana, Fartman. Banana Fartman MD.
Banana Fartman MD.
Yeah. So then cut back and get into the credit scene. Charles is talking, and he's like, Carlene was wrong. Gina, Rosa said it herself. I'm in charge of my own destiny. That means she wants me to make a move. And Gina, they're talking, and Rosa comes through into the room, and Charles like dodges out of her way. Like, yeah, she definitely wants you to make a move. Like, get out of the way. And she's like, well, you did get hurt because Rosa punched you. And the fact that Rosa punched you means she does not like you. Which is really good. Good, clear thing. So then they're going to get into the briefing, and Holt's like, all right, let's get this meeting started. And we hear Jake unzipping a tent. He's like, I'm not late, because he slept in the briefing room. and Holt's like, you're out of uniform, Peralta. And Jake's like, baby steps, Captain. Baby steps. So
da-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That's the episode.
That's the whole episode. Thing.
So yeah, it's a fun one. It's a fun one. Episode two of season one. I have not looked up anything on the show about like bloopers or trivia, and you seem to know a lot more about what actually happened in the world around this time than I am familiar with. So anything else that stands out to you?
No, there wasn't a whole lot. I guess the only thing was that I like that the whole thing with Holt is that he's teaching Jake these lessons, but he's also there for Jake. Like he has his back. Mm-hmm. But he proved it by going down there and saying, it's not just your career on the line, it's mine too, because if we do things right, then nobody can hurt us, even if we make them upset, you know. And so I think that's the real lesson. By crossing your T's and dotting your I's, by doing everything right, you are above reproach. And I don't think he really understood that. And it's kind of like the sage, like, well, you have to make the choice first. If you do, I'm there for, you know, so he's not just going to do it for him, much like so it's that whole father dynamic, which we get into much more later on with Jake's own dad and things. So it's great. Yeah. It's really, really good. And Jake does make the right call. And so Holt's like, yeah, then let's go do it. I'll, you know, cause Holt knew the whole time is like, you can't hurt me. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, I've been through so much already.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You're going to discipline me for arresting a criminal.
Right.
So.
And the whole chain of command too. Like, don't talk to my detective like that. Like, he's threatening, you know, cause Podolsky was threatening Jake to not do something that he would need to take up with his commanding officer. So anyway, yeah, it was a whole thing. It was good. And that's the other thing about the show. It's not totally empty and vapid. Like, there is stuff there that's a little bit deeper than just the jokes. So one of the reasons why. So that's why I think we like these sure shows, is because it's, you know, it's hilarious, the great characters, but there is a little bit of depth and humanity to them as well.
Right. Yeah. Well said, Jeremy.
Oh, hey,
well
thanks.
Said. Yeah. Listener, viewer, what do you think about this episode? Do you have thoughts? Are things we missed? Things that you thought, you know, you should have spent more time on this, but we didn't, and we won't, because the show's almost over. Mm-hmm. Like Diversity tomorrow, because today's almost over. But we'd love to hear from you. Leave a comment on YouTube or send us an email, parksandconversation@gmail.com. You're like, why still Parks and Conversation? Just go with it. All right. There's got to be a limit of email addresses. Like, we're gonna run out soon.
Yeah, we don't want them all.
I just want to make one note before we go. There, I'm looking at the IMDb page, and on the storyline, somebody wrote this. Anonymous wrote this. So the hacker group Anonymous wrote this storyline, and they have some tags under here. And the top tags are throwing a cell phone, unmarked police car, cocaine, drawing of penis, drug bust. And that those are the most important things that IMDb wanted to elevate to our attention. So, but I do love how every time you saw a police, even at the end, as they're arresting Podolsky, the police car is blurred out. It's so good. Just consistency throughout. I love it. So,
yeah. So next week is The Slump.
The Slump. Yeah. Jake's having a hard time, right?
Yeah. Backlog of unsolved cases, and everyone thinks he's gonna like jinx them as well. So
yeah, it's a good one.
All right,
it's a good one. All right, well, Jeremy, I'll let you go.
Yeah,
and we don't watch have out. Like a sign off.
That's all right. Well, first, good luck with your eagle situation.
Yeah, and, it's gone.
Oh, dude, how about over and out?
Okay.
It's kind of policey. Do they still, is that what the police kids say these days?
These kids. What do the cool police say?
So. On the ground. Stop. No.
No. Oh, I think we should just say, well, I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.